Thank you. Welcome, everyone, to the TAC meeting for July 24th. We'll start off with a roll call. Rob Miller. John Brady.
Present.
John Fouché. I understand he's out of town. Bob Simonson.
Here.
Russell Westman.
Here.
Daniel Berman.
Here.
Maria Kelly.
Here.
Marshall Ohilski.
Present.
George Call.
Here.
Jim Foreman. Rod Scheipe, I understand, is on vacation. And Karen Venditti.
Here.
Very good. We have a quorum. With that, if everyone could please take their seats and as we get this meeting started, we're going to start off with the acceptance of the minutes of our July 16 meeting. I hope everyone has had a chance to look through them. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm looking for. July 16, both the regular meeting and the special meeting. Excuse me. Okay, the two meetings of July 16. Is there any opposed? It passes. Tonight's meeting of the TAC will discuss the summary of viable project alternatives as outlined in Chapter 7 of the Los Osos Wastewater Project Fines Greening Analysis. Each of the committees has addressed this chapter, and during this meeting we'll have their conclusions on this chapter, I hope. At our next regular TAC meeting on Monday, July 30th, we plan to discuss and accept the PROCON summary along with a detailed version of the TAC PROCON analysis report on project component alternatives. The results of that meeting will be incorporated into the report to be adopted at our August 6th meeting and sent to the Board of Supervisors. Following our July 30th meeting, the TAC and its committees will be meeting with the project team and the Carrillo Engineering to discuss their recommendations for the projects brought forward. As a result of this effort, we have scheduled two additional meetings to be held here at the Community Center on August 13th and August 20th. The purpose of those two meetings will be to develop a TAC PROCON analysis report on wastewater projects to be presented to the county project team. We hope that in listening to the discussions that you get a better understanding of the viable solutions to our wastewater project and the basin groundwater issues become clearer. Public comment and question will be taken after the three committees have presented their draft of the pros and cons and before the TAC begins its discussions. At that time, only comments and questions pertaining to the alternate methods in Chapter 7 will be allowed. If you have other comments or questions relating to the TAC and its role, there will be a second public input period at the end of the meeting. Questions to the project team will be answered as time permits at the end of the meeting. Please be sure to fill out the public input slips that are at the table. It has been updated to include information from our last week's meeting. We encourage you to send us any of your questions or comments on this report. And our email address again is lowwp@co.slo.ca.us. And I wish to acknowledge all of those who have submitted to our websites. Your comments have been distributed to the committees for their consideration. I know many of you were at the Board of Supervisors meeting today, so there may be some stragglers in, but obviously the wastewater project was discussed as from many of your comments as part of this. With that, I'd like to just move right into our meeting and start with the reports from our committees, and we'll start again with the Engineering and Water Resources Subcommittee report. And who's going to give that tonight?
I am.
Bob, okay.
Diana, can you put level 1A construction costs up there? Or can you do that? We, engineering group, we took table 7.3, 7.4, and tried to combine them into a graphic that would help us get a handle on the costs, the trends, where we might be able to look at where we can save might be able to save money. When you end up looking at it in the graphic and actually in the table itself, it becomes pretty apparent that so far we haven't found the magic bullet yet as far as affordability goes. Let me explain this graphic to start with. We used the highest costs to start with because we figured we have to be prepared for the worst case scenario as we're going through this process. So as you can see up at the top, there's the little house, and going off to the right is the gravity system, going off to the left is the step system. And the horizontal lines for the gravity and the step, where the septic tank is, an important issue would be depending on the funding. Certain funding may not allow for on-site costs being funded. But other than that, the step system is cheaper by, between the step system varies between 65 and 81 million, and the gravity system is 80 to 90 million. So we're looking at about a $9 to $10 million difference for those. And you'll see that in the other graphics, whether no matter what level it is, those are consistent. They're the same all the way across the board. The treatment systems, each of the graphics goes down, like the treatment systems, their thickness or their depth on the chart varies according to their cost. And that's true of all of the elements on there. Treatment systems vary between, for step, between 22 to 25.5 million, and for gravity, 22 to 24 million for step, and gravity is 22 to 25.5 million. Those also are consistent through all the graphics and all the level, different levels. Where we start seeing differences is from treatment down. And like on level 1A, we have treatment costs between 12.7 and 14.3. And then under that, we have land costs. That's the little curvy line with the little trees on it. And under that is a roll of plans representing the permit and mitigation costs. Then the red line there is the total construction costs of 102 to 125 million for the step system and 117 to 135 million for a gravity system. The balloon is the inflation. The T-square and plans are the engineering costs. And as you can see from the graphic, you look at the graphic, you can see that 1A is basically the same cost as 2A without the recharge benefit. It's half the benefit of 2A. So the first question we had is, why are we even looking at 1A? Because the costs are the same, but we get a much greater benefit as far as our seawater intrusion goes. And then you get over to 3A, and now the costs start getting substantially higher in the range of $10 to $12 million for the project. But you get a benefit from 240 acre feet per year seawater intrusion to 600 acre feet per year mitigation for seawater intrusion. So, question is, what do we do with this? And part of the, some of the conclusions you can start to make is, given the fact that inflation is the second largest single item on there, time is of the essence. And so we need to, whatever we end up doing, we've got to do it as quickly as we can. The second item that comes up is there's a lot of money in engineering and design down at the bottom, the T-square and plan there. So we need to start looking at, are there ways that we can use any of the engineering that's already been done in any way? Same thing, the old CSD or the existing CSD, they did bring up when they first got back into, when they were first elected, they brought up, well, what can we do about possibly continuing a portion of the collection system or the whole collection system while we're working on other aspects of it? And that's not saying that we should go gravity versus step, but we do need to take a look at, are there ways that we could save significantly given the fact that inflation and engineering and design are such a huge amount of the cost on this.
Instead, we just wanted to highlight some of the key issues that jumped out at us from this chapter, and we don't have any cool graphics. I apologize for that. So I'm just going to go through a series of kind of bullet points, and the first one, and they're to some extent kind of in order of as we read through the chapter. This chapter talks more about the Tri-W treatment plant, even though it's brief in here, than any of the preceding chapters. And one of our comments was that when we talk about that as one of the alternatives, it'd be useful to have some discussion of what aspects of that project have flexibility and what aspects do not. This report sort of lays it out as it's a totally fixed, it's exactly as it was designed. I guess just, and this is really a recommendation for the final fine screening report. A couple examples, one is that the full range of effluent disposal options seem like they could be applied to a plant at the, an MBR plant at the Tri-W site. It wasn't designed, it was designed with a very specific focus in terms of effluent disposal, but any of the range of options we've been talking about seem like they could be applied and could, in fact, benefit from the relatively high quality of effluent produced by MBR treatment. On the other side, the biosolids options might be much more limited by the available site area, smell from solar drying in the middle of town here. So those are just some examples, but we thought it'd be useful if Tri-W, as it appears to be, is going to continue to be on the table, so to speak, that we should think about it in terms of what aspects of it have some flexibility and which aspects do not, and then costs associated with those. The next thing we wanted to talk about a little bit was biosolids. This chapter assumes that hauling of subclass B biosolids is sort of put in here as the default. It's carried through all the different alternatives in Chapter 7. As we talked about when we were on that section, from the Environmental Working Group's perspective, this is probably the least preferred biosolids option. composting, reusing this resource locally is more sustainable. It's not dependent on outside receivers. We're not exporting our waste to be dealt with in sort of not in my backyard kind of option. So if subclass B hauling is going to be carried through, we understand there's financial considerations that perhaps on page 7-6. They talk a little bit about the need to go through CEQA, a habitat conservation plan, coastal development permits potentially, mitigation, land restoration, and then litigation, which is not really discussed in this fine screening report, but has been a major factor in this project in the past. And one of the things we wanted to point out in this section is that the Tri-W project appears to have a significant advantage in this area, given that it's been through all of this permitting process. We have a Coastal Commission permit in hand. I understand there's some back and forth about that, but at this point, our understanding is that there's a coastal development permit, CEQA has been completed, mitigation has been put forward, the land's been paid for. So, I guess the separate from that really is just a discussion about project delays, and this sort of echoes what Bob was talking about, which is we were sort of realizing as we went through this chapter that we didn't put delays or timeliness as one of our criteria, but it is an important factor potentially for all three working groups. And I guess our points there were that project delays have a variety of negative impacts from an environmental perspective. You know, we're taking longer to solve the problem. The pollution of the upper aquifer is ongoing. Seawater intrusion continues, although there's other things we can do and need to be doing separate from the wastewater project. Regulatory pressure obviously intensifies the longer we take. Increased costs is a really substantial factor with delays. So whatever project we take on, we need to think carefully about the permitting, the mitigation, and the potential for litigation, because all of those things can take a significant amount of time. I talked to a couple different folks about trying to get an idea of how long it might take. I was looking at the schedule, and here in this chapter shows doesn't allow too much time for permitting. It sort of overlaps permitting with beginning design and construction to a large extent. If we start all over with permits and CEQA, we're looking at maybe a minimum of a year, and it could be many years, 3 years maybe, to get all the way through a permitting process, especially if permits get appealed and litigated. But it's important to recognize that level two only gets us halfway to achieving groundwater balance at the current population. Now, there may be other things that we can and should be doing, but the way we've got the information we have here, so we really need to get to a level three. The additional cost is roughly $15 million in here, but that's a cost that should be shared among all the water users, should be tiered to water use, and it needs to be thought about in terms of comparing that to the cost to import the equivalent amount of water from outside the basin. And then finally, this whole screening report, we talked a little bit about this last week, it kind of puts off purveyor cooperation. It says, well, that would be nice, but that's kind of out of our control and our purview. And I guess from the discussions with the Board of Supervisors today, from our discussions with the county team in the last meeting, it sounds like significant progress is being made on that front, and it really doesn't make very much sense to look at water balance and reuse and disposal with blinders on, ignoring the potential for what purveyor participation can help us achieve in that regard. If we can do level two with our wastewater project, and then actions through the purveyors cooperating can get us to level three without any additional cost falling specific to the wastewater project. And so I guess the bottom line is that purveyor cooperation is obviously an integral component of solving our groundwater balance problem, and it should be included in this analysis to the extent that we can do so.
Thank you, Dan. And then the final report from the Financial Committee, and that's going to be from Karen. Okay, thank you, Karen.
Thanks, Bill. Per usual, we have a table. I'm really getting tired of tables. But as you notice at the very top of the table, it does say for illustrative purposes only. We want to emphasize this. There are so many possibilities, but just to give us an idea or a better feel for what a project could look like and how they compare, what we did was we took essentially PONS and BioLAC and spun off the two variations using gravity and STEP. And then, of course, in comparison to that, we also costs. We also, did we do that? We also, yeah, should have done. I don't think we did. Maybe we didn't. I didn't. I apologize. Should have done a comparable table on O&M, because that's an important part of the puzzle. It's where? Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, thank you. Okay, we did. Yay. Okay, O&M is an important piece of that pie. We saw the same thing that everyone else has talked about in terms of level 1A and 2A being very little cost difference for capital costs. However, in the O&M costs, it could be more substantial. And particularly, well, I'll come back to that in a moment. So you can see how this looks as we compare these possibilities. There's an important footnote down at the bottom. I'm going to tag on to what Dan said. We feel strongly that the project certainly has to dispose of its treated wastewater. However, we do not believe that the prohibition zone should carry the burden of paying for seawater mitigation, since everybody in the basin benefits from that. So anything to do with recharge and seawater mitigation should be borne by the entire community through a general benefit rather than through the special benefit which will be assessed to those in the prohibition zone. So I think it's below that, Diana. Keep going down. There you go, the footnote. The Financial Working Group, if I may read. Mine looks different. Yeah, could you? The Financial Working Group, thank you, unanimously agrees that we want to achieve the highest level of seawater intrusion, mitigation, and groundwater balance. However, we believe that associated costs should not be borne alone by property owners in the prohibition zone and should not be included in an assessment for special benefits. The cost of adding a leach field constructed wetland at Broderson should not be part of the wastewater project. Therefore, if you can read it there, we have two upgrade options. Below the table, we have one, I'll go to Broderson first, which is actually number two. Adding Broderson, we do show the addition in capital costs and in O&M and the difference in seawater intrusion mitigation that we get. In other words, how much bang for the buck we get. That does add about, what we have the opportunity to do is start there and then improve down the road, or we can build it in from the beginning. And there you see the capital costs. With STEP, it's less than a little under $1 million to $1.5 million. With gravity, it's $1.5 million to $1.8 million. And then, of course, there's also O&M if you want to do composted Class A biosolids, and that's shown at 170, 160, respectively. So we like those ideas. We want to make sure that the choice is apparent as well as the cost factor. And the other thing that I have, and Diana cannot put it on the screen, I apologize, is a bar graph that I did. As I mentioned, I got tired of looking at numbers. And so thank you very much. I have an original that's really bright. And I can't put my hands on it. Thanks. Here it is. There is a bar graph showing the same thing that's in the table. This is the original, which is more bright, and all the TAC members have this. Can you do that?
Yeah, I can do that.
Oh, fantastic. Excellent. The bar graph lays out, again, PONS would be projects A and B, BioLAC, which would be projects C and D, gravity and step respectively, and then Tri-W. Again, this is only for illustration purposes. We've received comments about Oxidation Ditch and Nelson ADS, and, you know, there's lots of other options. But for some general comparison purposes, this is the way we laid it out. Thank you, Bob. I got to talk to the engineering group and see where they get all their graphics. You guys have got great graphics. I don't have those programs, sorry. Aha. Uh-huh. That's good, Bob. Yeah, that's perfect. Okay. Project A, again, total capital costs. This is based on the low range, the low end of the range. There's some real controversy over numbers, and I'll get to that in a minute. But gravity with ponds would be about 107, well, let me back out the land, about $116 million. And step stag, ponds, and not including the land, is about 99. Just a little shy of 100 million. And then the next two, C and D, represent gravity and step, respectively, with BioLAC. And you can see they're actually very comparable. Now we've added that bluish purple strip in there, which represents biosolids. You'll notice in PONS, the for A and B, we did not have biosolids on a regular basis. There was no capital cost associated with biosolids when you have PONS. There is O&M, just a little bit. But when you get to any other treatment, you actually have to treat the biosolids. And so that's what that little dark blue strip is in C and D. Now, if you move it over just a hair, we'll see an E, that's Tri-W. And that represents about $150 million. And the green strip there has some blue scribbles in it because that portion in Chapter 7 combined biosolids with treatment. So I didn't know how to separate that out. But there you go. That's kind of a different way of looking at numbers, and frankly, I like it. Now, it's not nearly as pretty as Bob's work, though. Thank you. I mentioned about the low range, the low end that I used on the bar graph. I also did a comparison of the fine screen numbers and the Ripley numbers, and I have that available. I just have about five copies with me here. But for anyone on the TAC, if you've been getting a barrage of questions along those lines, I'll be happy to give you my rough shake at it. It's not our committee's work, but because I've had so many questions, I thought, okay, let me look at this. So I do have that with me.
Well, thank you very much. You can see from the committee reports that there's an awful lot of data there and a lot of ways of showing it. And hopefully we're going to be able to bring this down, come with as their recommendations for the summary of the pro-con analysis for project components. Before we start the public comment period, I would like John Waddell, though, to come forward, and he has some answers to questions that have been coming into the project team that may be informative both to the audience and also to the staff here. So, John?
Actually, I wanted to just hit on a few points real quick. Over this last weekend, and I was out yesterday, so I got them all this morning, we received several batches of comments on the fine screening report from different groups and individuals. Some of the groups include the LCSD's Wastewater Advisory Committee, Slow Green Build, Surf Rider Foundation. So we're going to be putting those together and getting those both summarized on our website and also forwarding them onto the TAC. but the only one we have for tonight is from an individual who specifically asked that we submit it to the TAC in lieu of him being able to be here to make public comments because he wasn't going to be able to be here, and that's Jeff Edwards. On the working group question table, there was not a, we didn't get many questions from this past week's working group, but we are we did have a few, and we're finalizing that those question tables up, getting input from Carollo and the rest of the project team, and are going to be getting those out to you in the next couple days. And you know, as we're starting to wrap this up and get into Chapter 7, please go through those and see if there's additional questions that you have that need to be answered or that we've missed or that maybe we're not clear, as we want to make sure we get all those questions answered. And also, we are working with Carollo to schedule each of your working group meetings with Carollo to discuss, you know, the developing of project options and configurations of all the components in new projects. And it looks like August 3rd is going to work out for each of the working groups. So we'll be following up with more information on that.
Thank you, John. Thank you, John. Is this right? Can you hear me? Okay. Thank you. With that, I'd like to begin the public comment period. If you haven't turned in
Don Bearden, Los Osos Prohibition Zone. I notice on the Tri-W site, everybody's complaining about it not get. It shouldn't even be in the comparison. However, I think it's not being compared enough. I believe that the collection system has already been designed, and it doesn't show up on the graphics very well in that all those costs have already been taken account of, and a lot of them had already been spent. As far as the step collection costs are concerned, a lot of your data is based on data from Orenco, which says, one, like, for instance, their tank cost is $2,000 per tank. I went and tried to buy an Orenco tank. I got a quote from Loomis Tanks. The quote was $5,500-something. That's over 100% increase in what their figure was. I wonder how many other figures are incorrect also. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And our next speaker is Bo Cooper, followed by Lacey Cooper. Bo? Oh, give it to Bo. Okay, yeah, I got it. Okay. You may begin.
Okay. Thank you. Bo Cooper, I have some information that you can see up on the chart there. This from the draft EIR from 2000. Clearly, it ranks alternatives by environmentally preferred sites, preferred technology. As you see, collection, step, and stag is highest. Gravity is third under treatment sites. You have Andre, which represents the Eye of Town site and top, and then you have 1, 2, 3, fourth is the Tri-W. So people have mentioned that before, but I want to show us in the draft EIR. Okay, the next one, please. Next one is the comparison of alternatives. This compares to the Tri-W, which is the preferred project in the first column, step stag. You see in geology, hydrology, drainage, cultural resources, one thing after another, the impact is less. So step stag is referable in all those different categories except for traffic. I think that's debatable. But everything else, it's less noise, air quality, and so on. So I think it's important to note. Next one, please. The Tri-W site has to be mitigated because originally it was supposed to be underground, but it turned out there were going to be 30-foot buildings. So they end up with a wave wall. I don't know if you can see this, But we had put up story polls to show what it's going to look like from Los Dosos Valley Road. If you all remember that, people who have been around remember that. This is blocking off that thing. You see Morrow Rock barely in the back. We talk about view shed. The Tri-W site is set up in such a way that the view shed will be gone in that area. I mean, it's designed like that, a 40-foot wave wall. This is where it's at. And one more, please, finally. This is from the latest rock put by Ed Oakes and Pam Oakes. On the very back, it's from Carlsbad. This is 22 feet down. This is a gravity collection system. It's a 22-foot pipe that leaked. They have to go down 22 feet. As we know, the gravity system we're talking about can go down up to 28, 30 feet in sand. This looks like it's in dirt. But you can see the guy's going down 22 feet to fix the pipe. Can you imagine what it's going to look like in Los Osos when they put a gravity system in there? It's simply not a workable plan. I think that's a real powerful, important picture. And I really want you to take a good look. Actually, I have a copy that I'm going to give to each of you because I do think it makes an important impact to say, look, this gravity pipe is not a safe, workable idea. The graphic, I think, shows that. So I'm going to hand out to each of you, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Bo. Lacey Cooper, followed by Frank Asilio.
Okay. Lacey Cooper, it's good to keep that hole in the ground in your mind. I have a question for the TAC about gravity. I've heard that it takes twice as long to put in, and I think it's important when you see that graphic that you're going to have that all through Los Osos, and all the streets are going to be torn up like that, and you won't be able to get into your homes. They talked about that. And in sand, I think they were being a bit optimistic about how long each block would be blocked from, you know, there's people who are handicapped, they can't get out of their houses, things like that. You can't drive into your house. And so my question was, though, I've heard that some people were saying gravity would take like 3 years, other people 1 year. That's a question for the TAC about the difference between putting in step and gravity. And of course, when you're talking about gravity, it's in the report here on page 7.6, 7.3.4, schedule consideration says the goal of the rough screening process was to eliminate those project components that had the greatest impact on schedule and costs. Well, I think you really have to consider that with gravity. There's a lot of problems. There's cave-ins. There's men in the holes. The length and the impact of tearing up all the streets. And it's interesting they said they eliminated those things. So, but gravity's still in there. Okay. Let's see. Some tables. People have brought up about Tri-W being permittable. That's getting to be more and more debatable because, one, you don't have the overriding considerations, and two, I don't know what it's called, but the bay now has another designation. It's protected. They're going to relook at, they're going to relook at Tri-W. It's not the same, you know, project it was in terms of regulations. And also on your table 7.2, they left out the $24 million we're already paying for Tri-W. So you get up to, if you add $24 million, you're up to $176 million. And we're still paying that, so that's a cost. Plus, they didn't put in, for other projects on page 7.9, they said that they didn't, total project costs for the Tri-W project are not included.
Lacey, can you finish your sentence?
Yeah, I'm going to finish up. Since the midpoint of construction, escalation is not comparable to the other projects. So they left out like $16 to $21 million. and you can adjust that for design, but you take it down maybe to 7
can
to
you
11.
Finish,
okay, just a second. 7 to 11 million plus the 176 million that they've left off.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Frank Asilio, followed by Mary Fullwood.
Frank Asilio, Los Osos. I have just a few questions. Do you know why the county hasn't been involved with the permit process that's already been in place to see the validity of those permits? Because I would think those were resources that either you know they're on the table right away or not, because we're already in July, and I'm wondering why the county, that would have been one of the first things, because now you're building on assumptions, and that concerns me, because if you could eliminate some of those assumptions and be more factual with your information, I think that's a better way to go. I support the finance people who said about two different assessments, and I wonder if that's feasible, that assessment for the collection, the treatment, and then assessment for the disposal for salt or mitigation for saltwater intrusion, which would also include all people who have a straw in the water basin. That include people on wells as well, because they would benefit, because if we lose the water basin, the people on wells are going to lose their water. They're not going to have it the same way as those of us who have water purveyors, as well as agriculture. So everybody has a vested interest, and I would think that they would want to protect the water basin as well as those who have regular water purveyors. Those are my questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next speaker is Mary Fullwood, followed by Chuck Cicina.
Hi, my name is Dr. Mary Fullwood, and this is probably the first time I feel incredibly floored at a meeting where you are supposed to be presenting environmental project alternatives and not Tri-W, and basically engineering and environmental presented, oh, Tri-W is great because it's expedient, we've already got the land, it's already gone through analysis, et cetera, et cetera. If I had known that that was what this meeting was about, I would have been prepared. I'm not prepared, and I regret that. Slow Green Build just sent you a document, I think it's at least 7 to 9 pages, and they have incredible documentation about the hazards of doing a gravity sewer, traditional gravity sewer system in this day and age in relation to seawater level rising, the problems of the trenching, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of it I presented at the BOS today. I'm just so, this is literally the first time I'm floored. I want to say shame on you. I'm so upset with you guys right now. And the notion of people saying you guys have wasted $2 million to come right back to Tri-W feels very true right now. Fish and Game has even said with the new designation of the bay as an SMR that just things as simple as tertiary level at Tri-W, pure, clean tertiary water being put into the bay that directly without going through creek filtration is enough of a disruption to the saltwater content of the bay to be unfeasible and not doable through Fish and Game. So I feel like you're missing a lot of opportunities of talking to everybody else who's watching this project. And again, I'm going to just say shame on you. Aside from financial, I don't feel like you guys are doing your work, and I'm very upset. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Chuck Cicino, followed by Alan Perlman.
Good evening. Chuck Cicina, Los Osos resident. I once heard a Caltrans engineer say, just build something. Even if it's wrong, we can fix it later. Just build something. I got that feeling here tonight. This is, wow. The sunken cost of a poorly engineered project should not be a plus in a pro-con analysis. This project, Tri-W, is not energy sustainable. No mention of HPDE pipe that would limit critical saltwater intrusion for INI. That'll corrode your treatment plant and render the water unusable without further treatment. Dr. George Vonnegut said that was at the top of the list of things to consider. Environmental group never mentioned environmental impacts except for biosolids, only expediency. Is the permit valid? Your fine screening analysis said Broderson could not handle the amount of water that the Tri-W project would put up there. So you need other disposal sites. The project has changed. Is that permit need to be reexamined? Pollution and nitrates in the groundwater haven't changed since the late 80s. We don't have an emergency here. These numbers are not from Orenco. Orenco's numbers will be much lower, and you'll hear them soon. The cost of one tank versus the cost of 4,700 in a bid situation, of course it's going to be much lower if you're ordering a whole bunch of tanks. If these numbers are from Orenco, why are you paying Carollo $800,000? They're coming up bad. Oh, boy. High engineering costs, you're not accurate. With the engineering for a step system, I hear simple things like, I know it's not this easy. All I need is a set of utility plans, and I can work around them. Now, it can't be that easy, but the engineering costs are much simpler. Your change orders are much simpler. You don't have to go back to the drawing board as you would with a gravity system. The Tri-W EIR, thank you, Bo and Lacey. The environmentally preferred alternatives were step collection with a site out of town. The National Water Research Institute unanimously said, get the site out of town, and you have to consider pressure collection for those reasons. The HPDE pipe, lower that INI. I really feel like this has just been, let's paint up Tri-W. Thank you, Financial Committee.
Thank you very much. Please, Alan Perlman, followed by Sandy Bean.
Yeah, I can start talking before it comes on. Thank you. I was requesting a particular slide. How do you get the best environmental system? How do I know that Tri-W isn't actually the best system? Have I examined it? Well, let's go through the history. We all love history here, don't we? First, you decide that you want a pond system. Then you decide that the Tri-W site is where you want to put the pond system. Then you discover that a pond system will not fit on Tri-W. And then you take the next technology that will work in that size. That is not how to design the best environmental system. How could it be best? It was basically determined by a series of misfortunate accidents. So, I mean, that's not analysis of a side-by-side. I'm just giving you the history that explains why people are not convinced that that could ever have been, unless there's some process by which you accidentally get the best system, this isn't it. But I'm only saying that to conclude on what other people have said. We have on the board a very nice graphic, and it is very important that you communicate with the public at a level that everybody understands, everybody. But if we look down at the numbers, and unfortunately they're not very sharp anymore, engineers, scientists, people of that ilk tend to work with graphs and numbers and can look at a sheet of paper with numbers on it and pull out the information. One thing that's missing here is the graphic representation of a range. And since I can't see it from here, I can't actually explain it. But as a graphic representation, you have the responsibility to put in the true range. For example, at this point, it looks like there's a $10 million difference between the two systems. And I could be very concerned that a board supervisor might say, OK, $10 million is not that much. But the true representation should be a bar which shows that the range, because the low bid, the low amount on the step, is actually almost $20 million less than the low amount in the gravity. And that's just honesty in representation. Well, that's all I had to say, but I will play. Don Bearden spoke to you, and there was a comment I thought he might be making, and he didn't make it, so I think I will ask, as a concern of people who don't like the step system, you show the on-site being 40 whatever million. The on-site over there is 46 million.
Alon, can you wrap it up? Your time is up.
So the question would be, could that be clarified as to whether that is collected in an assessment or where that comes from as a unit from each time a person adds on to the system? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Sandy Bean, followed by Dave Dugan.
Hi, my name is Sandy Bean, and I've been a realtor in this community since 1978 and live in the Prohibition Zone. And as a realtor, I'd just like to say that the Tri-W site's best use could have been a ponding system. If it could have been beautiful in a park in the middle of town. Right now, its highest and best use cannot be a ponding system because it's not a large enough location, I understand, to be a proper ponding system for this size of a town. So as a realtor, and I'm sure you'd be hearing this from any appraiser, the highest and best use for the property would be residential use. And the community would have an opportunity to plan what that little area would look like so that when we drive down Los Osos Valley Road, we could see an attractive area, and past it we could see the view of the bay. Now that beautiful piece of property can sell for millions and millions of dollars today if it's properly exposed to the market. What we could buy with those millions and millions of dollars in a different area for a location where we can put ponds that are very similar to ponds that currently exist in golf courses and park-like areas. Well, from what I've been hearing all these times, this is what it sounds like we need to look at for Los Osos. It sounds to me like the community of Los Osos would like to have another park, and yet we don't have the water to support grasses and ponds and that kind of thing. Well, if we have the proper ponding system, maybe we can have some type of water that all our birds and ducks and other species can enjoy. I beg you, if you have anything to do with this, please try to take us in that direction. I think we would all be much happier, and perhaps financially we would be happier too, because really that would be a better use for the Tri-W site and for the community of Los Osos. A ponding system would be a better system. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sandy. Our last speaker is Dave Dugan. Oh, I'm sorry. We have some more.
Okay. Dave Dugan, Los Osos. I'm kind of disappointed. If it wasn't for that last graph that Karen put up, and on the bottom it says discrepancy in numbers. What was it, $37 million here, $47 million there, considering what Ripley put out, considering what Carrillo's putting out. I told this group before, you can't trust the numbers. Now, what's been going on here is that Bob Ogren, or the county, let's say, has been going around to all of these companies and saying, well, we need to buy, let's just say, we need to buy a car. And I want to buy your car, perhaps. And you go to all these different dealers, we may want to buy your car. And you go, how much are you going to sell us your car for? And the car dealers all say, well, how much do you got to spend? Of course, Pablo says, well, we can spend between $186 million to $250 million. And they go, well, just by the chance, I got a car that cost about that much money. So he's telegraphing how much we're willing to spend. I don't trust any of these numbers. I think what you've done is deflated the numbers on the Tri-W and inflated the numbers on the other systems. Period. There's not a chance in hell right now that we can get a decent bid on any of these projects because the county has gone around and told people how much we're willing to charge Los Osos for their car. That's the big problem. We all know the environmentally preferred is out of town. We all know that the least affordable is the MBR. That's strike two. Strike three, it's in the middle of town, just off from the community center, is what they call this. And that, yes, I believe it's office professional over there, but I think about a third of that property after office professional goes in can be a wetlands. So I want to see more wetlands options over here in town and on the outside of town, and I want to see the project outside of town. But that's me. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Richard Margetson, followed by Al Barrow.
Richard Margetson, Tri-W Night. Let's go to table 7.2. And I'm going to be comparing that to 7.4. It has a total construction cost of $150 to $153 million for the Tri-W project. But when you look in the footnotes, it says estimated construction costs based on bid tab values and escalated to April 2007 dollars. Same as it does in table 7.4 for your first footnote. But table 7.4 has a line further down, footnote 5, that has the total project cost escalated to midpoint of construction of June 2011. The table on the Tri-W project has no escalation to midpoint of construction. Nothing. And I understand if Tri-W were started up right away, it would take less than June 2011, but you would have a midpoint of a construction. So you have a huge cost variance right there. The other thing table 7.2 does not include anywhere is construction management. Construction management is included in table 7.4 for the other alternatives, but construction management for Tri-W on its own, at the point that they broke ground, was between $7 and $8 million at that point. So you have to add that into the total for Tri-W. You add those two together, you're in the 30 to 40, you could be in the 30 to 40 million range. The other thing is, there's no line item here for the treatment facility site, not included, and the reason is because it's already owned by the CSD. But if you're comparing Tri-W to other projects, you have to include the value of the land. And if you want to, in the other table, if you want to be fair, since the CSD does own it, you could show it as an offset against other projects, because it has value to the district, it has value to the county if they end up with it. If they sell it, those proceeds are going to go against some other component of the project. I mean, if we're going to look at this fairly, this isn't a fair comparison. Table 7.2 is a joke. And I'd like some response from Rob if he thinks that's accurate. And then my last concern is table...
Can you finish it up, Richard?
Yeah, in the tables in the appendix, table A2, could somebody tell me what the first two numbers in level 2B? What are they?
We'll answer questions at the end, Richard. Thank you.
Did somebody write that down, which table that is?
I think I saw someone write that down, yes. Al Barrow, followed by Chris Albee.
Hello, this is Al Barrow. Good evening. I like the ponding comment the real estate lady made. That's warms the cockles of my heart, because if you remember, when we formed the CSD, we were going to have a pond system. And the reason it was motivating was because it was going to be more environmental than the county's project, which was a mechanical project, which was over twice the cost of what was predicted for the pond project. So 87% of the voters voted for a pond system. So the community's already sold on ponds. We like it. And it's environmental. And it doesn't take a lot of energy, although it takes a little bit bigger footprint. You can do it for 13 acres, which isn't severe. You know, for the benefits you get out of it, 13 acres is not a lot compared to the higher cost, capital costs and operating costs of all the other six projects that you have discussed in the viable project alternative. So I wanted just to say that as a little history. And the saltwater intrusion mitigation numbers seem, well, it's pretty hard to make people pay for a sewer and a water supply under 218. You have to separate them so you get special benefits for that. And so you really shave down the cost. And then when you look at the decision that the county made not to have the vacant properties on it, the cost is going to escalate for the present residences. So I think because the viable project alternative was a cost document more than anything else, we need to try to get something that's more affordable. And certainly ponds and step collection would be. The numbers in the industry are far lower than in this report, no fault of your own, but they are, and that puts a heavy foot on the scale in favor of what I would consider the wrong projects. So as it's been mentioned before, design build is a good strategy to go, and we do have some private companies that are sitting on the sidelines with capital who would be willing to pick this project up, and I think they could use the work that you've done. And with that, say thank you very much.
Thank you, Al. Chris Alvey, followed by Lindy Owen, and we're not going to accept any more slips for this, so I think we have all the slips in. So Chris Alvey, followed by Lindy Owen.
Chris Alvey, CDO number 1019. Quite some time back, we were told by some of the finest water engineers in the United States that no matter what we did in Los Osos, all these nice plans and such, there wouldn't be any change in the water quality for approximately 25 to 45 years. The last board was voted out of office simply because the plan they did come up with was flawed and more expensive than anybody could ever afford. Being a CDO, that basically means there's 46 of us. We're being held hostage while this sewer process is going on. And what it basically boils down to is if the 218 vote doesn't pass, and make no mistake, the regional board is, they have all these CDOs and CAOs filled out, and they're ready to roll. If that thing doesn't pass, everybody's going to hit with a CDO or a CAO. And over and above the water quality, what we should be doing to the groundwater, whatever, the population here better be prepared for this. Basically, no matter what you do here on the board, you can't do much about it one way or the other unless the entire water basin is taken into consideration, which it doesn't seem to be. They've got this prohibition zone that's supposed to ward off all the evils and the bad water and whatever. And the area of the compared to the water basin is just too much. You would have to do this engineering on the entire basin to have any real effect. They talk about we can't afford it now, or they won't, the government can't kick in because of the Iraq war or some damn thing. Well, if we let it sit and just go to a wastewater management program, a septic tank management program, and wait for the Iraq war to be over, maybe we can get some help. It's been the first community that's had to pay this kind. It's the most expensive public project ever inflicted on a community of this size. And we should just hold off till we can get some money.
Can you finish, Chris? Thank you very much. Lindy Owen, followed by Pat Renshaw.
Good evening, Lindy Owen. I definitely think that you're missing some of the reasons why a STEP system does not match our needs. And number one, it goes down through our aquifer. It takes raw sewage and all the dangers of raw sewage, and it keeps them in a tank. And it processes them with nature. It doesn't cost a penny. It completes a whole biological process without using energy, without using chemicals, and without having to do anything with it for up to 10 years. And then the solids get hauled out. All this gravity sewer is the same thing, but about 100 billion times more expensive. Waste of energy, more chemicals, more people needed. I mean, what is going on in this process? I feel like I don't even want to come here anymore. I don't know if you guys drank weird stuff before you came and sat down or what, but this is what another one of the problems is, and Bob was going to try to zoom in on this. This is what the slide was trying to show you. It's on the back of the rock. And this is not an unusual scenario. This is when you have to fix one of those big gravity sewers. And it's sort of the same when you're trying to build one. It's not cheap, it's not easy, and it makes absolutely no sense in a community that is already built to take and destroy the bad roads that we have. They're going to need to be replaced with better roads. The expense, I don't know where that's listed. It was originally $24 million or so, but I'm sure it's at least, you know, more, double that with the cost of asphalt. Going through heritage sites, we have Chumash ruins, and this is one of the richest Chumash areas along the coast. There are grave sites throughout, especially down here where you're talking about a Tri-W. But even throughout our town where we put those trenches in, we're going to be going through those sites. And it costs a lot of money. Cal Poly, so many of you are from Cal Poly. I mean, sometimes I think that's the connection, is the Cal Poly people are all trying to get each other jobs. And that's not what this is about either. The tearing up the streets, fixing it, having what's running down in that pipe in our water, draining into our drinking supply. You think nitrates that haven't changed in 20 years or so are something that we should all run in fear over. This is what's going to make this a fearful place to live.
Thank you very much. Pat Renshaw.
Hi, Pat Renshaw, Los Osos. I also wanted to bring up the Native American burial sites in the area. I remember when they were working on the road by Sweet Springs, and they came across a site. This was just working on the road, so it's not going to be very deep. You know, they had to stop work, have Native Americans come and inspect the site and do a lot of work, which postpones, you know, things getting done. And I know that even in my own backyard, I find, you know, pieces of flint that they've made, you know, their tools out of. So the whole area here is really a natural Native American site. And I think that the step stag would be better because it would be less obtrusive to the environment. And I think most people are just looking for a fair environmental and economical solution to this problem. You know, it's been going on for a long time. It seems to be very political. I think people just really need to be able to come together and work together to look at a system. There's a magazine out called On-Site Water Treatment. I mean, this is this nice green lawn, but hidden underneath is a treatment system. I mean, there's, you know, this is stuff it's being published in magazines, and these things are going on. There's very creative and innovative systems out there, and I don't know if you're able to look at all this stuff, but, you know, there are things that can be done that maybe are being bypassed because you're kind of stuck in a rut. So I just hope that you can open, you know, your eyes and maybe look into some of these alternatives and be able to give us the best system that we can get. We have a vote coming up, the 218, which we would love to be able to support, but we want to be able to know what we're going to vote on. I thought that maybe we could have the solution, the survey first before the 218 vote. I don't know if you guys have anything to do with that, but it might be something to look at. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pat. With that, we'll bring the meeting back to the TAC, and we'll try to answer some of the questions that we noted. And Rob, you seem to take a lot of notes, so why don't you start it off?
I just have a few answers. One for Lacey, as far as the duration of the gravity construction, 2 years. Can everyone hear me okay? Two years? Mm-hmm. And that was doing half of the community at a time, so 2 full-year. For Alon, he was wondering about, actually for Frank, wondering if the special benefit in the assessment could pull out that portion of the cost that was related to disposal components that benefit water supply. And the answer in my mind is yes. Those should be pulled out of the special benefit, and the only thing that would be included in that would be the cost necessary to simply accomplish a wastewater project. So some disposal costs, but certainly not to get to level 3. So those would be pulled out of the special benefit. And then for Alon asking, again, a question on special benefit, would you be including or excluding the property owner costs or what portion thereof? And the answer to that would be you would include the tank, the pump, and everything for STEP, but you would exclude what the report identifies as property owner costs, which is everything upstream of the STEP tank, and then also the electrical costs. So I'll have some other comments, but those were the questions. Oh, Richard would agree that there would be some escalation to midpoint of construction for any project, obviously, since we're not in construction right now, as well as CM costs. And I believe since there was no attempt in the fine screening report to put the total project costs on TRI-W, I believe that will be attempted. And when we have those tables that are coming out of the county, that they would include those kinds of costs and also the appropriate calculation of land costs or offset, I would think. And then with respect to table A2, it looks like there's a formatting error there with those numbers. They should have been in text format, but it appears to be the cost of labor, of energy and labor associated with the spray field on level 2B. Just looks like a formatting error. So.
Thank you very much, Rob. Did anyone else have, Karen?
Thanks, Bill. Yeah, I have a few responses, if I may. First of all, Bo, thank you for giving us your couple of your sheets, but I'd love to get a copy of the one where you had ranking. I didn't get that. Sandy, you talked about wetlands, and if, those of us who have the financial Chapter 7 table will notice that we recommended that if Broderson is used, that would make an ideal spot for wetlands. So we definitely like that idea, and that's where it's coming out. Seems like that's easily doable at little or no extra cost. We did ask the question about it being too steep, and we're told that it's not. Dave Dugan questions some the numbers. Once again, we got lots of questions on numbers, and that's why I went to the trouble of doing a comparison with the fine screen and the Ripley report, the update of 2006. I only have a few copies, but I'd be happy to have them up on the screen if you would like. Bill, is that something you want me to review briefly?
That's for the TAC here?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Okay, I gotta get my. No, not the. The Ripley. There we go, thank you. Okay. I made several tries at this, and this is totally an individual effort. Don't blame my committee if the numbers aren't what you think they ought to be. But when I took a look at the Tri-W costs and the STEP costs, and I pulled out the treatment that Ripley used her BioLac for cost purposes. I also adjusted Ripley's numbers. Ripley was sizing for 1.3 million gallons per day, and I also escalated his cost figures to bring it up to April 2007 dollars. So given those adjustments, you will see on Tri-W, the fine screen shows a cost range of capital costs of 143.1 to 152.5. Ripley shows 201.6 million. So there's a difference there. Ripley's showing an additional 58.5 to 50, somewhere in there, anywhere from 50 to 58.5. And the O&M is also different. As it relates to STEP STAG, it kind of goes the other way around. Okay. The fine screen shows capital costs for a BioLac system to be $93 million to $110.5 million for STEP STAG. Ripley shows the same system at $82 million. So there, Ripley's coming under the fine screen report by $11 million to $28.5 million. And again, there are differences in O&M. So I just wanted to share, this was the reason why when I did the bar graphs, I used the low end of the fine screen numbers, because that's the least amount of difference from what we already are showing with the Ripley report. And that is what I wanted to say.
Rob, I think you had a comment on that chart. You want to leave that chart up a moment?
Just for a second, I think, just a couple things to highlight. One really goes to Richard's comment. The engineering and admin costs for Tri-W, that was assumed under Ripley. There has been no estimate published by Corolla at this point, and I believe it will be as part of that final table, so we'll have a better chance for a real comparison there. And then under STEP STAG costs, it is interesting that the county's approach was to have a low end, which was their best estimate, and they simply included a contingency based on the lack of design detail at this stage of design. Ripley had a higher level of comfort with that level of design detail, and therefore the low end of Corolla is very similar to the estimate of Ripley in that particular table, which I think is interesting. The other big difference, and we touched on this last time, is on disposal. Ripley made the assumption, and one of my comments will be to this effect, that the water is needed outside of town to the extent that people will take the water. You won't have to pay for the land or the distribution or the application cost for spray field because people are hungry for the water out there. And I think that's an important element to research in due diligence, since that would go to ag exchange and to simply disposal outside the basin. And that's a major difference between those two analyses.
Thank you, Rob. Russ?
Yes. My comment was the same as Rob. I picked up on right away there's a difference in the disposal system between Ripley and Corolla, and it's the tune of about $10 to $11 million. If you bring that all the way down to the bottom line, that brings the total capital cost rather close in terms of the lower end of Corolla. And, for example, it would be $82 and then $11 million swing gives you up to $93 million. And so the whole thing has to do with the disposal system. And as Rob has correctly pointed out, the disposal systems are totally different. and that accounts for the difference in bottom line costs.
Bob? Yeah, I just have a comment. There were some general comments, I believe, directed at us about the engineering group, about Tri-W. We didn't even look at Tri-W in this go-around, partially because we didn't know what to do with some of the numbers. As Richard pointed out in 7.2, there's information left out, but we did not mention Tri-W, and it was not included in any of our graphs or charts. The only reference that might have been to Tri-W was the fact that the engineering costs are so high in the projects we're looking at that we need to be sure we use as much information and, if it works out, any engineering that could be reused for whatever new project we come up with as a cost-saving measure. Lacey brought up the fact that the assessment needs to be included in the costs, which is true, but the reality is that we're going to be paying that assessment no matter what project is going in. So it ends up being even all the way across.
John, you have a comment?
Yeah, I wanted to ask the county. One of the things I read at the very end of the chapter was talking about a competitive bidding process between Gravity and STEP-STEG, a design-build type strategy. And I've heard the sentiment expressed in public comment before, having two teams looking at these two different collection systems and seeing what is the best value for our community. It seems to me if you have this design-build type of a situation and you construct your request for proposal well enough, you could understand what sort of construction techniques they're assuming that they're going to employ, some of the benefits in terms of the pluses and minuses on environmental impacts, as well as the specific costs. What's the status of that?
I'm John Waddell, Public Works Department. You know, the strategy we're pursuing for the project, and especially for the collection system, which is the largest portion of the project cost, is design-build. And rather than having, you know, teams of engineers estimating project costs in that level of detail for Gravity versus STEP, it would be actually putting out RFPs for design-build contractual commitments with private industry contractors and getting that firm commitment to an actual project cost for example, a STEP versus a Gravity collection system. There'd be a lot of other factors that would go into that contracting model and into that RFP. You'd have to take into account environmental impacts and maybe construction schedule and other factors that would then be weighed. So that way, if it would not necessarily maybe be a dollar per dollar comparison, because if one system has less environmental impacts, then maybe it would have some added value for that. So it could actually come in a little higher, but still be the preferred project. Those are all issues that we're going to be having to look at in the future as we go through this process. That's why we think that that's going to be important. These are cost estimates. They are only estimates, and as we move forward and through the due diligence process in 2008, we're really going to be pursuing the design build and hopefully being able to move in that direction, whether it's through new legislation or through the current law of Section 5956. We think we have some options there. And that the firm contractual commitments from contractors are going to be very beneficial in deciding what is going to be the least costly and most affordable project for Los Osos.
Yeah, I just want to say that I think that's the best way to go, because we've heard some rather powerful arguments on both sides, and it all boils down to how much it's going to cost and what the impact of the community is. And we've had numerous meetings here where a lot of the concerns have already been expressed, so perhaps the request for proposal could be constructed to to attempt to quantify those particular concerns or mitigate them to the minimum levels possible. I think affordability is on the top of the list, and I think a competitive bidding process is definitely the way to go for this particular part of the project. The other comment I wanted to make related to existing assets there. When you're looking at some of these disposal options, a level 1, 2, and 3, one of the things that there's assumed no water purveyor participation in level 2 and requires water purveyor participation in level 3. Well, the fact is the water purveyors are moving forward, with development of the upper zone. And I do note that the harvest wells, for instance, requires about 150, 200 gallons a minute total to tap into the upper zone down gradient. Well, with our Skyline project, that was identified as a harvest well, and that operates about 200 gallons a minute. The Broderson zone or leach field operated with harvest wells. Well, there are a number of wells already in place, ready to go with treatment. So I wanted to kind of point at that out because in the Appendix 1A, it does include certain costs for harvest wells and other things that the water purveyors are already moving forward on.
Thank you, John. Bob?
I had one more response. Our using the high numbers was brought into question, and I want to make it clear the engineering group prefers financial numbers of using the low end, but given the fact we've had three projects in this town and all three ended up being more then the high estimate during the process was we felt it was prudent to get the high numbers out there.
Thank you. Dan.
Thanks. I wanted to respond to a couple of the public comments. I guess just overall, I hope this was clear, but this is not our final report on a pro-con analysis of overall projects. This was sort of going through Chapter 7, so I hope nobody mistook this for our overall pro-con of this whole package or of a range of options. Dr. Mary Fullwood talked about the status of the estuary as a state marine reserve, or soon to be. I think it's actually soon to take effect. But mentioned discharge of tertiary treatment water to the estuary, and I don't think that's not an option across the board here. Discharge of any water or of effluent directly to the bay is not an option for any of the things we're looking at or Tri-W. I guess just in general, it seemed like we took a bunch of heat for saying, that Tri-W had any pros in any way, shape, or form. I guess I just encourage people to try and come at this the way we've tried to come at it, which is to look at all this range of options in as objective a way as we can. We talked about Tri-W having more work done as far as permitting and CEQA than any other project. I think that's just a fact. There's obviously major downsides to Tri-W as well, and we've talked about those as we've gone through this, but we were not trying to sell that project
very clearly two meetings ago. So the issue around flexibility is still a core value, and it still applies to the Tri-W project. This was our first opportunity to really take a look at it and to start looking at what aspects of it applied to our pro-con. So to have those comments being made really sounds like the work done up to this point hasn't really been heard, we've laid out our concerns and our pro-cons on subclass B biosolid handlings and disposal. and that we would ask that the community continue to bear with us as we go through this into the fine screening. This is a draft fine screening report. And we've been doing, you know, looking at a lot of different things and asking a lot of questions. It concerned me a little bit. We'd asked about wetland construction at one point up at the Broderson site. We were told it was too steep, couldn't be done. Karen Vendetti's told us that it could be done. So obviously there's still some more clarification to happen. So I would appreciate it in the future you would take into account all the work that we've done up to this point and bear with us as we go through the rest of this pro-con.
Thank you, Carol. Marshall?
Yeah, I just have a couple comments, and I think Bob actually mentioned one of them, and I think it was the $26 million needed to be applied to all the projects across the board because it's money that's been spent. I mean, it doesn't apply to Tri-W. It doesn't apply to anything. It's just gone. So that money is applied to every project. So
$11 million worth of land. Let's
finish. Marshall, go ahead. Please, no comments from the audience at this point. Marshall? Marshall, will you proceed?
You know, I just for the record here, I represented Tri-W when that property was sold to the CSD, and I know how much the CSD paid for the property. It's not $11 million.
With Broderson, it was $11
million.
Lindy, please. You have no data to support that.
The point that I'm trying to make here.
Present value.
Can we please let the TAC do its business?
The point I'm trying to make is that the money that's been expended has been expended. If there are assets, community assets, that can be sold to relocate the project out there, that's a different issue. Then that's a credit. And they try to avoid the complexity of the issue. And I think that everybody needs to understand, and I think Maria said it well, that this particular project had one single component. This particular chapter had one single component. We have major environmental concerns about all of this, and all of a sudden, the statement was made today, well, the environmental group said the Tri-W was great. First of all, we didn't say that, and second of all, I don't know that we even believe that because we haven't gotten to that point yet. I don't have a personal bias on this particular project, and people are trying to say that we have biases. Well, that's just not the fact, and I'll tell you, quite frankly, in my perspective, my opinion's changed 180 degrees since I started in this process. We've devoted probably well over 60 hours a person working on this project. And quite frankly, the complexities of it are there. And I really have a problem when people just put out numbers without looking at the complexity of it. I also, just one other state, and this is the other thing that I'm going to get off my chest because I've been thinking about this for a couple weeks. We've been trying, as the members of the working group here and the TAC, to be as professional as we can. And then, you know, we even put out guidelines for conduct. And then I hear a statement tonight, and this is the exact quote, "I don't know what you are drinking." Now, that to me is a personal attack, and I really don't appreciate that being said. If I was up here on the TAC and one of you spoke at the public comment period, and then I said, "Well, I don't know what you've been drinking," you would be offended by that, and I think we're offended by that, and I think we're trying to keep this conversation on a reasoned and objective level, and I think that's really counterproductive, and I'm really offended by that comment, quite frankly. And last but not least, I just have a question for Rob.
Yes.
And this has come up a couple times, and I know I've talked to some people about this on a one-to-one level, and I really want to make sure everybody has a clear understanding of what the pond system is. The pond system has been portrayed a number of times as what I think people are thinking of as a wetland system, and it's a park-like setting. It's really not. The primary treatment ponds will not be accessible to the public. They will not be in a landscape. So if we're thinking about the ponds being the ponds out at Sea Pines, that's not a correct interpretation. So, and I'd like Rob just to explain a little bit as to what we're talking about in the facultative ponds, because I just want to make sure everybody's clear as to what these actually are.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah, in our office, we do a lot of ponds. We operate a lot of ponds and manage a lot of ponds. I think there's two different things. One is the ponds that actually do the actual treatment. Bridge, you have what we call maturing ponds. Sea Pines, one of their ponds is an effluent storage pond. from their treatment plant. Those ponds can be developed with a lot more as the aesthetic. You know, the storage ponds can be shaped in a non-engineering fashion. Folks hate when I do rectangles, but I love rectangles. I'm an engineer. We let the landscape architects do the other shapes. And then, but you can have more of a public element to the storage and maturation pond. So there's a separation there. But certainly there will be the need under all of the project alternatives for storage. And that, I think, is the best opportunity to look at wetlands, ponds that are sensitively done with the aesthetic and so forth. So just a perspective on treatment versus the other ponds.
Thank you. Do I have other? Yes, Bob.
I have a question for Rob, but also I do want to respond to the question of the statements about the cost. We've heard that a number of times, so I went to the CSD and got the actual records, and it was $7,696,000 is what was paid for Tri-W and all of Broderson. Okay, so we can put that to rest. You talked about the assessment and special benefit. Do you see a problem with going to 2A as part of the wastewater project?
It's essentially the same cost. So if it's the same cost, it's just based on value engineering principles, you do the same thing. I think the dollar amount is what's important in terms of the special benefit. You get the most bang for your buck out of that dollar. I just wouldn't want to see the special benefit in the prohibition zone overly burdened for projects that benefit the entire water supply. But, yeah, I think level two.
Okay. Now, when you're going through and doing that assessment, do you also take into account that those of us the argument can be made that those of us who live in the prohibition zone account for 80 to 90% of the seawater intrusion that's already occurred.
I just think the best way to do that is to include that as a general benefit and then spread it to everyone, and that 80%
were 5 years old. And furthermore, steel corrodes, particularly when it has air and the obnoxious things that are in a gravity system.
That was a force main.
Force main. Okay. So there was some question about whether there was air or not in there. The next thing had to do with the size of the trench. I don't know what it said. I don't recall what it said in the rock, but I counted the rungs in the ladder. 13 rungs, ladders, rungs are 12 inches apart. So on the angle, you're 13 feet down. Your vertical depth there is about 12 feet, which is about twice the size of the man you see, who's about 6 feet tall. So let's call the depth of the trench 13 feet. Also, the width is 13 feet, roughly, maybe 14 feet, and which is unusually wide. And I would suspect that that wasn't necessary for the repair, except that perhaps there was erosion and washing at the bottom. But I don't know. I don't know about that. But this is not representative of a construction trench. And if you want to see what a construction trench looks like, then I invite you to drive or walk on Howard or Solano Drive. I walk that street every day, twice a day, actually, with my dog, and you can see exactly what the size of the trench was because you can see the patch. Furthermore, during the construction, since I live around the corner, I had to drive in those streets. And the longest delay I had was 3 minutes. And they did a good job of controlling traffic and keeping everything buttoned up. So while the dust and the thing was somewhat annoying, it was taken care of in a very professional way, and I found that the trauma was minimal. Now, I did not to say that other people will feel differently about that, but that was my reaction to that. So that's experience about putting these, not this one, but putting these types of trenches in our area.
Thank you, Russell. Karen?
Yeah, I wanted to go back to the conversation with Bob and Rob regarding disposal reuse, whether we use level 1A and 2A. Yes, the capital costs are so close, I'd say, yeah, go for 2A. However, Also, look at the O&M. The O&M on 2A is substantially higher than 1A, and that's something we got to live with forever, guys. If I go back to the numbers on disposal, give me just a second. 2A has an O&M of 400 to 440 per year compared to 1A at, to give some thought to it.
Yes, go, John, go ahead.
Yeah, there's a, the main difference between 1A or level 1 and level 2 is level 1 anticipates the export of a significant quantity of the wastewater out of the basin without having that's part of the plan, and that in the long term would be detrimental to the basin. In level 2, the thing about level 2 is the infrastructure that's needed to go to higher levels of seawater mitigation are there. Level 2 provides for the Broderson leach fields, which is the only direct means for recharge of the upper zone. Now, remember, we're taking a recharge source away by eliminating the septic tanks. So we need to be able to bring the water back into the basin, and the Broderson leach fields provides that. The I think it's more than looking at the costs there. The O&M costs are different, but I think it's important not to build a project that would make conditions worse. And a long-term export of water from the basin would make situations worse. And level 2, although it doesn't quantify the seawater mitigation as high as we'd like, it does put the physical infrastructure in place that we need in order to optimize the function of the basin.
Thank you, John. Let's let Rob, he has a comment. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Karen.
I agree 100%. I am most concerned about that, and it's worth the extra dollars to be prepared for recharging the aquifer. And I'm pleased that level 2A at least also looks at ag reuse, which I think may lay in the groundwork for ag exchange, which may be a much more powerful recharge than Broderson.
Rob?
Just a couple of general comments. I think as you look at the different project levels, we stated before that much of the difference in cost among those levels is the cost of land for disposal. You know, I think we all believe we need to get to level 3, to level 4, and there's just the escalated cost of land is well over $10 million in some of those project options. I think as the county enters into a due diligence phase, the need to would also encourage as this moves forward to consider the potential cost savings of the design-build approach. I also looked at the total project costs and thought that they seemed towards the upper end of what you might see for a conventional design bid CM type of an approach based on what was spent in the previous project. And I do believe that since design build takes the design to more of a 30% level and then issues it for construction, I think there could be significant savings in design costs. There is a lot of information already out there. All that utility research that I think Chuck refers to, it's done, and the sheets are laid out. All the surveying is done. We have wonderful survey information in this community. Lateral locations for every property have been through a lot of review. So a lot of work has already been done, and the design-build approach, I think, would help to maximize the use of that asset for whatever system went forward. So I think the county's approach to that is probably a prudent one. And then one other comment is that, again, under the value engineering of these options, I think there's a need to look at partial denitrification. I know this is maybe somewhat disagreement on the tack, but taking a side stream of this flow for denitrification, I think, is something we should carefully look at before we actually put infrastructure in the ground, because we may not need to denitrify the entire stream. Though I think it would be likely that we go with tertiary for the entire flow stream.
Thank you, Rob.
Yeah, can I just...
John.
Yeah, I I just wanted to respond to the comment that the agricultural reuse could be a more powerful recharge option than the Broaddrson zone. There is a part of the seawater intrusion study, there was a lower zone source of recharge aspect to that study. And one of the things they concluded was the water in the Paso Robles formation, you know, is one part from the creek alluvials, which is where the agriculture irrigation overlies, goes, I'm sorry. Right. Let me just finish this thought here. There's 2.9 parts of the water that goes to the lower zone there, comes from the upper zone, and one part comes from the creek, wells down gradient. I think we don't want to say that's a more powerful, you know, that's a more powerful recharge mechanism than the Broaddrson leach field, because the thing is we're trying to shift to this upper zone, and we need to protect the sustainable yield of that upper zone. So this Broaddrson leach field, and it may be other types of techniques for getting the water in the ground up there, but that is the only infrastructure that will directly recharge the upper zone that we're interested in developing.
But if I understand agricultural exchange correctly, what it means is that the farms farther out to the east side of the basin continue to pump, or we drill new wells to pump from there, and then we pipe that water into town and replace that from water that ordinarily would be pumped from the deeper aquifer in town in the west end. So it was the exchange that I was thinking about, which reduces pumping as opposed to recharging.
Yeah, that's an operational aspect. That's management of the basin. And, you know, water purveyors would most likely put their own wells in rather than using an agricultural well, because there's certain Title 22 specifications for that. But that's an operational aspect on trying to get the most water and optimize the production of the basin that we have. So it's important to how we pull it out and how we put it in. And the point I wanted to make is going from level one to level two. Level two, we have the infrastructure that we need in order to achieve the goals that we want, which is a sustainable yield of the basin without need for importing water. And according to the calculations and modeling that Cleith and Associates have done, it is possible to operate this basin, balance it within the sustainable yield without need for importing. But an important part of that is agricultural exchange.
Thank you, John. Do we have, any other questions, comments by the TAC? It seems to me, in coming back late today from Monterey, I did pick up the last couple of hours of the Board of Supervisors meeting. And at that meeting, the speakers from the community who addressed the board seemed overwhelmingly in favor of us doing the most to get that aquifer up and with the cleanest water. So I think there is that looking at to be the final or the summary TAC pro-con analysis of the five components of the wastewater project. Then with that, I'm going to, do I have all the speaker slips in of people who wish to speak? One, two. Richard, you're bringing one over? That's three. So then I'm going to go with four. I'm going to go with two-minute comments. It comes up with hours. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to start the public comment period. As I said, it's two-minute public comments. You had a few more there, Karen, or do we have more? Oh, here they are. Okay. It's Dave Dugan, followed by Don Bearden. Dave?
Dave Dugan, Los Osos. The question is not what have you been drinking, but what have you been smoking? But I just say that in little to try to break the tension here. For the TAC, specifically though for the county, within the last couple of weeks, I've had people, more than one, over a dozen, come up to me at the store or wherever I've been at, saying they're going to vote no on the 218 because they haven't seen the Tri-W project vetted in this process. Parts of engineering. And no matter what you do, I think the problem's going to be that Tri-W wasn't first put on the table right off the bat and vetted just like the rest. And believe it or not, there's several people in this community that voted against Tri-W by the recall. And I think there's even more people now seeing that perhaps they're going to have to kill this 218. The county is not on a time schedule order. There is no rush for any kind of enforcement action coming down on the county. The county is not on a time schedule order. They can take until, before it even comes to a head, until July of next year. So if they mess up this 218...
Can you wrap it up, Dave?
If they mess up this 218... Well, maybe they can try again.
Thank you very much. Don Bearden, followed by Sandra Hedges.
Don Bearden, Los Osos. I'm in favor of a gravity system. I'm against a step-steg system, and I don't think this community realizes how much damage will be done to on-lot property by installing a step-steg system. I intend to make sure that the community does find out how much a step-steg system will impact their yards and streets. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Susan Hedges, followed by Frank Asilio.
Yeah, I just got back from vacation, and I've been listening to you guys. Does anybody live up there near Broderson? On this tech or near there? Okay, Rob. I live up there too. I've lived there 35 years. I have to dig a trench around my house every year for the water to come down. And there are other projects besides these two. Oh, wait, I got the wrong one. Excuse me. I really feel you guys really haven't checked the ways the water comes down the hill. Why do you think the county has to come out every year, sometimes four streets below, to clean up the mess? And you think that Broderson can hold that water? What is this? Are you trying to give the county more job security? That's what I feel about it. I don't think there's been enough to do it again. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandra. Frank Asilio, followed by Susan Shaw.
Frank Asilio. I have a question regarding the Edel Farms. Has that ever been considered? And later on you can answer the question. Because also I believe that's a site that could be utilized and also it's available for ponds. The other issue is that in today's meeting with the Board of Supervisors, and they talked about the water issue here in Los Osos, and they made some recommendations that staff's going to come back with ordinances. But it sounded like one of the speakers was saying that it's going to be a build-out with 200 homes with the retrofit requirements that the homes will have, the new homes. So if we're going to build 250 homes and then the rest of the lots, vacant lots, are not going to be able to build. That's going to be, that's unfortunate for those people. That's why I think the water issue is so important. And I'm surprised that the county actually didn't split off the wastewater and the water components, because I think they weigh about the same. And therefore, you can, then bring in your information together, because it is a lot of work what you're doing. You're going over a lot of information. A number of you don't have some familiarity with, and you're learning. Others have a lot of expertise in this area, and you're moving along pretty good on it. So to me, you got two very important issues: the wastewater issue, collection, treatment, meet the regulatory requirements, and having water available, sustainable. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Susan Shaw, followed by Bo Cooper.
Susan Shaw, Los Osos. And we all know that we need expediency in this job. Well, directional boring is expedient. I had a student that was working on getting his contract license, and he had been working for years on directional boring. And he was so enthusiastic about this, more than he was about my class. And he said that it was amazing. They could do it 10 times faster, directional boring, and it was simple. They just went through there. They didn't disturb the streets. They went through. And also, Mr. Simonson brought up about how the gravity pipes would be okay in our terrain around here. Well, when the earthquake happened, we'll need permitting. Get in real time. Trenching will be damaging and time-consuming and expensive. Am I right? The statement by Mr. Brady that we have no say about boring or trenching, that is all in the hands of contractors. Well, I am sorry. That is tens of millions of cost difference. And if the community has no say in this, we must vote no, because you are giving us no choice.
Thank you very much. Bo Cooper, followed by Lacey Cooper.
Bill, before you stop my time, I just want to mention that there was a video, there's a technical glitch in the video, so none of the stuff I said earlier was recorded. So if I repeat some of the stuff, I just want to let you know that I thought it should be recorded. Okay.
Thank you.
And if you're back on the screen, you're on the screen, this is from the draft EIR. The project shows a collection. Step stay comes first, gravity is third. Under treatment sites lower down, Andre representing the out-of-town site is top, and fourth down is Tri-W. So it's not at all the preferred environmental site, which is what the EIR picks out. Next thing, please. This is also from the draft EIR, the alternative systems. Compared to the Tri-W, which is the preferred project, you see that the step stag has less impact with geology, hydrology, drainage, cultural resources, consistency, air quality, noise, and so on as you go down, health and safety. It's all either comparable or less. Step stag is by far economically preferred. Next slide, please. I had one. This is the... This is where the Tri-W side would be. There you go. This is where the Tri-W side would be. Just so it's right in the middle of town. There are odors, noise, whatever's going on, it's right there. That's where it will be. Just want to give a graphic on that. Next one, please. I'm just running through it quickly because of time. There were story poles. Originally, the Tri-W site was buried underground. Then it was changed. Now there are 20, 30-foot buildings. There were story poles that show where the wave wall would be. The wave wall is going to be 40 feet high, and that shows where the wave wall would be. You lose your siding. There's Morrow Rock in the background. Those trees are already dead, already gone. You lose your view shed. Last slide, please. That's that picture we were talking about, Russ showed. What I did is I cut a little man out. I cut a little man out and did him on the side.
To say, thank you for pointing out my error with the adding back the $24 million. And I expect the TAC to do that. I'm glad you guys pointed that out. But as the other gentleman said, you have to put in the land is an asset, so they really did need to add that. Also, it's funny, they didn't... On table 7.4, they didn't put in construction management and admin and legal costs, which I estimated, I took off $9 million for design, and it's about $7 to $11 million that they left off Tri-W 2. So if I say that. And if I'm wrong, correct me. I believe now, again, Bob's Simmons, I can't get your last name right, Bob of Engineering, okay. I believe he says $9 million difference between STEP and the gravity systems. Is that correct? Well, you can correct me if I'm wrong. What I wanted to do is talk about Ripley. Karen had brought up, you had Ripley. I brought this up now because it's a different, you know, it's a different report. And it was interesting. They had, on one chart, they had 4,783 lots, and they had gravity for about $88 million. And then, okay, it's fast. And then they had 5,151 lots for STEP, and it was like $64 million. So that's like $24 million difference. So I like these, a lot of numbers floating around. And then for their O&M, they had $2.6 million, and then they had O&M for STEP at 1.6, so it's a different of $1 million. And then they had on their chart really quick, they had for Tri-W 328 per month, and then for you know, a step out of town, it was 154 a month. So, you know, I don't know how they correlate to your numbers, but that's, boy, the numbers are very rangy, so I think you have to look at a lot of, you know, different reports. So I thought I'd just throw that out to you. Also, I wanted to hear more about the facultative ponds. I was a little disappointed because I wanted to hear how the solids, you talked about biosolids, but not how you really handle that. And because they said they were really good.
Can you wrap it up, Lisa?
Okay, I'll wrap it up. And Tri-W is an energy hog, according to reports.
Thank you very much. Al Barrow, followed by Michael Jones.
Thank you, Al Barrow. Very quickly, Mr. Brady, his company sued over the disposal at Broderson, so it's kind of double standard there on that one. 60 hours to offset the cost of this hugely expensive proposal. And then as far as sustainability, energy use, AB 32, you should consider using solar energy and for the on-site pumps, 2x3-foot panel, and then off-site would be larger panels to run the power plant, save 50% energy on operation and maintenance. And then the last thing was we can reduce the impact on the lots by using step steg, which is a combination of gravity and step. That way the step package is smaller. You only have half as many or something like that. And use 200 to 300 gallon additional tanks rather than pulling the existing tanks up. You add that small tank up with the biobasket in it, saving a whole lot of money and still getting the amount of storage that you want. If you would like to make some comments on that, Rob, I'd like to hear them.
Thank you very much, Al. Michael Jones, followed by Chris Albee.
Michael Jones, Los Osos. I would like Mr. Westman and everyone else to take another look at this picture. This ladder, this is not two sides of one section of ladder. This is one side of two sections of ladder that has been extended quite a ways up. Now, there is no way you can tell me how many rungs go down to the bottom of this pit on the bottom section of this ladder unless your glasses have some sort of microscopic quality that the normal eye does not have the capacity of. And a much more accurate, you cannot use this guy in the bottom because of the depth perception. The man in the bottom of the pit is not an accurate depiction of the depth. As Bo said, it's a much more accurate depiction. These guys that are on the side of the cliff at the same depth, and you can see if the average height of a man is 6 feet, that you could go down, that it goes down at least 20 feet, at least 20 feet. That's that. I'm not going to accuse you guys of drinking anything, but it's just making stuff up like this and disseminating this magical information that's not there. It's not true. Thank you for the time.
Thank you very much. Chris Albee, followed by Richard Marketson.
Chris Albee, CEO number 1019. As long as everybody else is commenting about the pen, you citizens out there are going to have to start forming action committees. And you know, if the regional board just thinks there's a slowdown on this project, or even after a 218 vote, the county can vote for any system they want, basically. That's already been talked over. And if that happens, you're going to need court injunctions, attorneys, you have a war chest handy. You'll have to have a relief fund for people that have been, that can't utilize their homes anymore if they just spread a blanket CAO over the whole area. And if any of those things happen, all your hard work's gone. You can throw it away. They'll just say, okay, get out of here. They'll get the Corps of Engineers or somebody in here and just whip us up a project. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Richard Markinson, followed by Alon Perlman.
Richard Markinson. The only comment I'm going to make about the trenching is the depth of the trenches at Howard were some of the shortest in the entire project. You know, so you did have a very small trench there. There were parts of town, especially on some of the rolling streets, that were going to have some 30-foot depth trenches, and it was going to be the entire width of the street. So, what I really wanted to talk about was what happened at Supervisors today. Based on their proposal, the first 200 to 230 homes that are built is basically going to solve the water conservation program for the entire community. Because what came out of that meeting was a 23-to-1 requirement for retrofitting in order to build one home. And I used the worst case scenario. If there was 5,500 homes and every one of them had to be retrofitted, they'd be able to accommodate 230 homes to be built out. But the question was then raised after that, where do you go from there? You know, I mean, what's the next step? And they don't have that answer yet. But if you use the numbers that were given today, there was talk of a minimum 50 gallons per day savings per household, and you use the subspars water consumption, and they didn't pay it any mind. Thank you.
Thank you. Alon Perlman, followed by Pat Renshaw.
Hello, it's Alon Perlman, and I believe an astute engineer might have noted that the pipe in the picture was not fully exposed. It was probably an 18-inch pipe, and only about 8 inches of it were visible. So for a proper repair on a pipe of that size, it would very likely had to be exposed an additional, quite possibly 6 feet, but I'm not an engineer, I don't know all of that. But I do think that engineering and maintenance sustainability would require you to consider the fact that, according to AB 2701, it is quite likely that the LOCSD will be taking over the projects and therefore all the repairs. So unless you're planning to have the Army of Corps of Engineers reconstitute their encampment in Morro Bay or bring in some big equipment by Sikorsky helicopter, it would be probably better to have a system that has smaller pipes. For example, I don't know how many people can lift an 8-foot pipe. I'd like to go back to this graphic because it came up again. This is a high range right there. That's a high range. Is it showing up? I guess it doesn't show up very well. I have a class 3 laser device, but it's not showing. I'm going to walk over there. I was trying to demonstrate that the true values are misguided in the sense of, and this came up in your own discussion, you really should be showing an average or a median and then showing a bar to show the true costs. It is misleading the way it is. It's only the top that's showing. It's probably unintentional, but to really be able to use this graphic honestly, I think at this point you would need to at the very least, show the low value.
Alon, can you finish up?
I believe I'm finished. Oh, I do want to say that project costs.
Alon, no more. Sorry.
All right.
Time up. Pat Renshaw, followed by Gwen Taylor.
Hi, Pat Renshaw. I just wanted to ask about the ag exchange. I'm not exactly sure how all that works, but do we get equal? Hope that that's what you'll decide to choose. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Pat. And our last presenter is Gwen Taylor.
I've asked this before, I'll ask again. July 17th has come and gone. Who is the replacement on the Environmental Committee for that, Mr. Don Asquith? Has there been any selection? If not, why not? And when?
Okay. Then that's it on public comment. I have no more slips.
I have one.
You have one? I don't have one from you. Do I? Are you Mark both? Okay, come up, Lindsay.
Lindy Owen, I wanted to first apologize about the drinking comment. I was not talking alcohol. I was talking more like some kind of weird county Kool-Aid. I just watched that Jonestown thing. It's kind of creepy. Some similarities, but anyway. You guys have been doing a lot of work, and I do appreciate it. I just feel that this whole process was flawed from the very minute it started. And I didn't know if John Brady actually discussed the possibility, and I'm going to keep saying it every time I have a chance, of actually putting two teams together and doing a competition to do the best gravity system that we can have. If you think Tri-W is it, go for it. And then let a team that's dedicated to looking at the technology put the best alternative system that's going to combine step on site and technologies that we're interested in looking at. We're talking about, you know, climate change now. We're talking about sustainability as part of the law. It's time to actually get two different things going. I think the two teams would work really well. My other point is the pipes go the wrong way. If you think anything that's using gravity that went to the middle of town is what is the most efficient way to transport raw sewage, you got it wrong. Go back to the county's plan that took it out by the junior high, which is much closer to going on out. I don't understand why we can't just get something that's competitive. I think we would be winning, and we might even be able to pass a 218.
Thank you very much, Lindy. And with that, I will end public comment, and we'll try to respond. John, can you have a response?
Sure. A question from Pat Renshaw about Ag Exchange. With the numbers that are in this report, where you're actually buying the land for Ag Exchange, you would get a one-for-one exchange, and the term would be unlimited. To the extent that we make arrangements with Ag and don't buy their land, I think those items would be up for a negotiation. As to whether you get the full credit and what the term is. And then for Al, the suggestion of using a pump tank in addition to an existing septic tank, I suppose if the tank was already quite new, I think most of the STEP folks, and I'm not an expert in the large-scale STEP, they'll tell you that you have to replace all the tanks. But, of course, ultimately there'll be a competitive process and getting design build numbers on that, so they'll try to save whatever numbers that they can, I'm sure. But if you ask Aramco, I'm sure they'll say replace all the tanks. But
okay, that it?
Of course, they're selling the tanks.
Yes, John.
I just wanted to respond to Mr. Barrow's reminder that Cal Cities did file a writ of mandate against the Regional Water Board for the Tri-W project. And that points out a couple of things. First, Tri-W had one disposal method, period. The options that are presented in the county's alternatives, there's a portfolio of disposal alternatives, and that's a huge difference. The other thing it points out is the Los Osos Basin has two challenges. You know, first is volumetric concerns, and the second is quality. In terms of, it sounds like I'm talking on two sides of the issue for Broaddusen. Volumetrically, it adds the benefit of recharging the upper basin. In terms of quality, one of the Dr. Chabangalis's report, the NRWI report, talks about the Broaddusen zone and saying it is worth looking at the draft recharge regulations for recycled water. And looking at those draft regulations, the Broaddusen zone has a number of things that would comply with that. And first is the horizontal separation between the first wells and where the Broaddusen leach fields are. The second one is travel time. It's 8.5 years to the nearest well. There are other protective mechanisms that we wanted the water board for the Tri-W to implement for the Tri-W point, and how it's operated is where we're going to address the quality issues.
Thank you, John. Is there any other comments or statements from anyone on the TAC? With that, then, we will call this meeting adjourned, and we'll see you all next Monday, same place, same time.